You take your Bibles and open to Psalm 119, one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, and we're going to read verses 9 through 16. If you've opened up the bulletin and if you looked at it, the sermon title is called Beautiful Feet. What on earth is that talking about? We're going to find that out in a little bit, but in preparation for that, we're going to read Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of the ordinance of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will guard your ways. I will delight in your statutes. And listen to this. I shall not forget your word. I shall not forget your word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day that we have come to worship you. And Lord, I pray that as we worship you and as we yet even experience the loss of a dear friend, Orville, Lord, I pray that you'll give us courage. Lord, I pray that you'll give us hope and peace in the midst of trials. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whose God reigns? Our God reigns. If you have your Bibles, you can turn into Romans chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 17 today. Romans 10, 14 through 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I have two Chuck Swindoll stories that I want to share with you today. And just so you know, these are from my illustration book, and I've never brought the book out here because it's about that thick. So I have a lot of illustrations. Sometimes I can't get one from there, but it says a young pastor with a small flock had been at his church only a few months. One week, he was preparing a message on the love of family members, but he couldn't find the introduction he needed. He had read in the local newspaper that a well-known experienced minister would be preaching in a nearby town that week. So on Thursday, he decided to slip into the back of the church and listen to that pulpiteer. He thought for sure he might find inspiration for his introduction that he needed. Amazingly, when the minister came to the pulpit, he said he wanted to speak on love. As a matter of fact, he said, the sweetest, most wonderful, loving woman I ever held in my arms was another man's wife. And she was my mother. Oh, he heard little else, he thought. What a great introduction for my talk. I'll use that one. And of course he was a little troubled because it was risky to use an introduction like that, especially since he had been at his church for only a few months. Well, even though he was nervous, he stood up to preach, and his opening line was, the sweetest, most wonderful loving I ever held in my arms was another man's wife. And the shock that came over his congregation caused him to have a mental block. And he added, for the life of me, I can't remember who she was. I need to mention here before I read the next story that preachers, good preachers, have illustrations, just like Jesus did. He taught parables about everyday life. Unfortunately, sometimes the illustrations have nothing to do with the rest of the message. That's a mistake. One more story. And this is Chuck Swindoll speaking, just so you remember. In the late 1960s, I did a wedding in a small Mennonite church in Iowa. I remember looking over at the pulpit that had been placed to the side for the wedding ceremony. And on this old pulpit, I read the etched words, "Stand up, speak truth, sit down." This reminds me of the story of the preacher who did fairly well in his sermon. He preached a little long, but he did a good job. Fishing for a compliment from his wife for lunch, he said, "Well, what do you think of the sermon?" She responded, "It wasn't bad," she said, "but you did miss several opportunities to sit down." I have had some of you tell me I speak too long. I have had some of you don't speak long enough. Quite honestly, most of the time, I don't even look at the clock. But my purpose for speaking is to grow disciples through the encouragement of His Word. So that's our purpose here today. Whether the introduction went south, or I speak too long, or I don't speak long enough, or it simply isn't interesting, I hope that you will become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this text today, and I pray that your word will go forth into our hearts and our minds. Teach us, Lord, to be disciples of yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus not only died for our sins, but on the third day, God raised him from the dead. We learned last week that we come to him through confession, through our mouths, that Jesus, in fact, is our Lord, and that he was raised on the third day. So why is that important? Can anybody tell me, why is it important that we confess that Jesus is Lord and he raised from the dead? Because he lives. Because he lives. Listen to me. Listen carefully. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then he'd still be dead. And he would not have conquered death. And Jesus promises life. Did you know that? Jesus promises life. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what?
Have eternal life.
John 10:10-17. "The thief comes only to kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Satan has come to kill and destroy, but Jesus says that he has come to give life. And it goes on, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who has a hired man and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. For the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is the hired hand and he is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd," he says. "And I know my son, and my own knows me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Listen to verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I can take it up again. Jesus died, and then he rose again from the dead. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Gives us eternal life. Verse 14, Romans 10, verse 14. If you have your Bibles open, you can leave it, leave your finger or thumb in chapter 10 there. How then will they call him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? I was talking to a church member one time, not here, and he said that he cannot find anywhere in the Bible where we need to have preachers. He said it was an unbiblical concept. Well, that person, quite honestly, hadn't studied the New Testament at all, certainly not Acts and the Corinthians and the epistles. Talk all over about God bringing some of us, giving us gifts, some to be apostles and disciples and pastors. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in the earlier days was written for our instruction. I don't know about you, but I don't instruct myself very often, only when I make a mistake. It's written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Now, this is only one biblical text that talks about having pastors to teach congregations, but there are many scriptures. God reveals himself in two different ways. I just want to briefly touch on this. He reveals himself through nature, and he reveals himself through his word. In nature, let's look at Romans 1, 18 through 20. And it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth by unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident to them within them. For God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So you see, God reveals himself through what has been made. I mean, how can anybody say that this was not created? It's beautiful. Four seasons. And this was not created. Our bodies are so intricately designed, all fitting together for one purpose, for the glory of God. Yep. And then the preaching of his word, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the works of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And some have said that pastors are the only ones that can preach God's word, so we bring our unsaved friends to church and they become saved. Is that what Scripture says? Oh, look at Matthew 28. It's talking to everybody. Go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Other people have said, well, I really don't need to say anything. They can just look at my life and they can know that they need to become a believer because I'm a believer. I have said that in the past too. But you know what? I'm a sinner. And I sure hope they're not looking at me. We need to present God's word. We need to present God's word. Romans 10, verse 15. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Remember, last week. We talked about if there's anything in the New Testament that says, as Scripture says, or the things of the past, we need to go find out where it is in the Old Testament and what is it surrounded by it. So that text is in Isaiah 52, verse 6 and 7. It says, therefore, my people shall know my name. They shall know my name. Therefore, in the day I am the one who is speaking, here I am. How lovely are the mountains, are the feet of him who bring good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. So it's not necessarily the feet. I mean, if I had Christy take a picture of my feet and showed them up on the screen, you'd say, those aren't very lovely, Pastor Bruce. And I would say, you're right. But it's the person who agrees to follow him in preaching God's word. Not just pastors. Fellow believers who want to see their loved ones come to know Jesus so they can see him in heaven. Anybody. Because God is holy and divine. Romans 10, verses 16 and 17. However, they did not heed the good news of Isaiah, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. A preacher can preach until he's blue in the face. But until a person is ready to hear the gospel and respond to that gospel, then they will accept God's word. The parable of the sower, which I'm going to go through very briefly, explains this quite well. The farmer is out and he's broadcasting seed. Okay? And there's four different soils, four different hearts that God's word speaks to. The first one is rocky. It's the path. It's all beaten down. Can seed grow in that? Certainly not. So it doesn't even take root. It's not accepted. The next one is the rocky soil next to the path. And the root take, the seed goes down and it takes root. But it doesn't have good root. It doesn't get down and develop. So when we see a new believer in Jesus Christ, we need to mentor that person and make him into a disciple. That's why we preach God's word and encourage the saints. We need to teach one another to follow him. The next heart is a little bit thorny. And the seed falls on a thorny heart. And it takes root, and there's excitement there about following the Lord. But the troubles of this world overpower that person, and they lose interest. And the fourth seed is the soil that's been cultivated. Bring your friends, yeah. Tell your friends about Jesus out in your living room or in their living room. Cultivate that heart. And then they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we need to preach God's word so that many will come to him. Amen. How many WANA leaders are in the room? Raise your hand. Okay, here you go. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God might be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's what we do. We teach God's word to encourage the saints. Amen. Have a good week.